The Ricky Gervais Show on Guardian Unlimited.
Welcome to the seventh Ricky Gervais Show on the podcast. I'm Ricky Gervais, with me Stephen Merchant.
Hello.
And Carl Pilkington.
Alright.
Now, talking of that, that's only five to go then, isn't it? Five to go in this series of 12.
Oh, still seems a lot though, doesn't it?
We'll take a little break. I'm sure we'll come back. Through popular demand, I'm hoping.
Yep.
I'm hoping to put that on the poster, back by popular demand.
Well, I'm hoping it's by overwhelming public demand.
Yeah, exactly.
My favourite.
Yeah, yeah. As we're doing it for nothing.
Yeah.
We want to get a little bit of a pat on the back, don't
exactly,
we?
Please. Do they give awards out for podcasting?
Oh, if they do. Woohoo! Hello, I am already writing my speech, baby. I was thinking that everyone listening, if you want to register your email with us, we'll let you know when we're back on air. Maybe later in the year. Go to RickyGervais.com and just register, and then when I do a general mail out, I'll let you all know when Carl Pilkington is back.
You are a good guy to these people, Rick.
No sweat.
Now, there's been an awful lot of correspondence. It's backing up there. We've got acres of it to get through.
It is a bit mental, actually, but it's very flattering, and thank you all. And people have sent such brilliant things in and spent so much time doing them. There's someone sent in this mock-up of, we were talking about the those Russian sort of iconoclastic artifacts, and someone's mocked up Carl Pilkington as Saint Carl the Bewildered. It's brilliant. It's so good.
Can we put those on the web?
Yeah, I think let's put that up on RickyGervais.com, and that's from Joe Murray in Philadelphia. We've also got one, which is a little work of art from Ed Ferrari, and it's the three of us in a studio, and it's just great.
It's a very flattering picture of you there, Rick. You look about 14.
I know, I've come out very well in this. Carl, he's got a head like a fucking orange. Look at that! And you, well, I don't know what you are, your head is about 2 foot long, and in real life it's only 18 inches long, isn't it? So he's exaggerated yours a little bit, but it's a lovely drawing, we'll put that up on the web as well. Everyone go to RickyGervais.com, everyone register, please, and we'll email you, and everyone keep sending stuff in, so thank you very much.
Carl, Joe from Bradford asks, what body parts can you live without? He wants to know. He's obviously having sleepless nights thinking about this.
What, so?
With a brain.
He's coped this far.
So the bits that I've got now, if I had to get rid of one of them, what wouldn't I miss?
Yes.
See, I did a bit of an experiment on this, right?
Brilliant.
It's my job at home to wash up, right? Suzanne does.
She gives you all the really big responsible ones.
Yeah.
She sort of like pays the bills and wires the house. And you go, what can I do? And you can go, well, you can go and play with the worms in the garden.
Yeah.
So anyway, so it's my job to wash up and that, right? And I thought to sort of make it interesting and stuff. I thought, I wonder if I can do it, right? If I didn't have any thumbs.
And so what did you do?
So I just sort of
sliced off your thumbs.
I just sort of held them in. And it's amazing how, like, it took me ages. Just having, like, that one thing gone.
Well, it's part of our evolution, the opposable thumb. Basically, that's when we soared. These are milestones in human evolution, the opposable thumb, the forward-facing eyes, the upright. These are massive things in taking us out of the animal kingdom.
And one day, Carl, you'll walk upright.
But what do you mean about eyes facing forward? You mean, before we got here, there was people whose eyes were looking in their head. I don't understand. Is that what you
no,
mean?
No, because when we got sort of binocular vision, where we could, you know, because we were predators have a forward face. I'm going way back. I'm not saying chimps had eyes on the side of their head, but I'm saying big major milestones in any evolution. Mm. I lost you at evolution.
So when you were doing this experiment, washing up, you say that you found it difficult. It took you ages. So you didn't just give up once you realised how essential thumbs were.
No,
you actually washed up everything.
I just think of Suzanne walking in and Carl's there, just covered in water and fairy liquid suds, standing on a pile of broken crockery.
Yeah, plunging his face into the sink every 30 seconds and just swishing his head around.
But we talked about the washing up thing before, I don't know, when I was still there washing up. And I sort of look out out of a window, so the sink's in front of the window.
Yeah.
And that's why I quite like washing up, because I can just look out onto the street, two people going past. There's like a local homeless fella called Franco. You know, I look out that he's all right and everything.
Sure.
But I was looking across the way, right, and there's some Chinese people who live on in a flat, right, really small flat, and they're up till all hours. I don't know what they're doing. But they decide to back up at about 3:30 in the morning. Right? They're always really noisy in that. But above them, there was some woman, right, who, the sort of bedroom is on par to our kitchen, right?
Yeah.
So I'm sort of washing up.
Yeah.
And I sort of look across and see this woman with, like, you know, no pants on and that, no bra on that.
Naked.
Yeah, just...
That's the word you're looking for.
Yeah, she's just wandering about without on that. So I was like, oh, what's going on there? So I carried on washing up and that, right? And kept looking, and then I was looking and she looked at me. Right, so we made eye contact.
Sure.
So I was like, oh, God, right? So, what I thought the best thing to do was sort of drop me pants a little bit. just a little bit, just like, you know, I had boxer shorts on and that. I thought if I just show a little bit of sort of arse cheek, then it's kind of like, right, we quits.
Right? I don't understand the thinking.
So Suzanne's watching the telly, right? I think she's watching Sex in the City or something.
Yeah.
She sort of turns around to see how I'm getting on with the washing up. Right? She sees me with, like, me pants sort of down a little bit with my arse out. She said, what are you doing? I said, don't look now. I said, but there's a woman over the road, right? With no pants on and that. She caught me looking. I'm just giving her a bit back.
I love the fact that he explains the rules and Suzanne's going to go, okay, that makes sense.
But I don't, so hang on, so you showed a bit of your arse. You turned, presumably, to show the arse, or waggled the arse out of the woman.
I had to lift it up a little bit on the, sort of, on the draining board.
What did she do? Did you register her reaction when she saw a bit of your arse? What happened?
When she saw my arse?
Yeah.
Well, then I wasn't looking because I thought, in a way, I don't want it to look like, well, I've seen a bit of your stuff, here's a bit of mine. I just thought, at the end of the day, I caught a glance of you.
It's only fair.
You've had a bit back. You know, I'm not making a big deal out
of it. I genuinely think James Stewart missed a trick here in Rear Window.
Yeah.
This would have been, you know, a much better film had James Stewart just popped his pants down.
It would have given a whole new meaning to the title Rear Window.
Yeah.
It's tricky, though. I seem to be surrounded by people like that. Because, I told you before, there's the old woman across the way who's just sat there reading a book. I look through everybody's windows like that. Remember that film, that Sliver, wasn't it?
Okay, right.
When they've got video cameras.
Yeah.
I'm just looking onto everybody's world and just seeing what people are getting up to. There's nothing wrong with that.
Brilliant.
That's why I like washing up.
The Ricky Gervais Show on Guardian Unlimited.
Chris has emailed a mantra for Carl. We were talking about famous mantras and sayings and things.
Yeah.
Never has a Manx said so much to so many that means so little.
Brilliant.
So you can have that on your headstone.
Rupert. Your little round headstone.
Rupert's in the Isle of Man. He says, I don't know if you knew this, Carl, but apparently octopus's testicles are located in their heads.
Yeah. But then, to me, that isn't that amazing, because at the end of the day, an octopus, really, all it is an head.
So everything it's got has to be in the head.
It has to be in the head. It looked daft if they dangled down below. Right? So all it is, I mean, there's a lot
Hang
of
on,
facts.
It looked daft if they dangled down below. I'm wondering again, that's almost, I don't think you should start sending them in, but that could almost be the B-side to,
I could eat a knob at night.
James Round says, Carl, if you could be anyone in the world, who would it be?
Dead or alive.
Why would you choose to be a dead person?
No, but sometimes, like, there's people who are now dead, but everybody raves about them.
But are you saying... But he wants you to live that life, not have been that person. Are you saying that if you chose Napoleon, you'd be Napoleon, but you'd be back to life, walking around now on the bus, or he you know, it'd be the 18th century, or what? What are you saying?
What I mean is, if...
Oh, just answer the question. Who would you be and why? It's someone you admire or you think had a good life. Just answer the question.
But what I mean is, it's good to be remembered. Like, Winston Churchill is remembered
yeah.
as being a decent bloke, but I wouldn't want the hassle that he had. So I don't want to live his life.
Right.
But it's good to be...
You'd like to be Winston Churchill, but you'd like to have a paper round instead of...
saving the world.
Yeah.
Well, that's what I mean. But is he saying who would I want to... Whose job would I want to take on?
It's not that complicated.
The question is this. If he could be anyone in the world, who would Carl be? That's the question. That's all the information I've got.
A lot of responsibility on a lot of jobs, isn't they?
So, some of the names flowing through your head now?
I was thinking... Bruce Willis.
I never expected that.
So his responsibility in your mind is what? Saving people who are trapped in a building with terrorists?
Well, yeah, maybe, you know, his worries are different worries. With, you know, people who have a lot of money come other worries.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? So Bruce Willis, he's always going on these marches, isn't he, saying stop war and all that. Mainly because he's got, you know, he's got more to lose if there's a war. He's got loads of houses. One of them's going to get damaged. Whereas if you're poor, you've got the one house. If there's a war, it's like, oh, just end it all for me then. I'm sick of it anyway. Do you know what I mean?
Sure. With
successful life and happy life, there's more for you to lose is what I'm saying.
Right.
Like, at the moment, because I've finished a job that I've been at for 10 years, right? I've finished working there, so suddenly I've got my timetable's a bit out, and I haven't got enough of a routine. And I'm a man who likes to know what I'm doing. Right?
Yeah.
So now suddenly
five until seven, washing up with no thumbs.
I've sort of turned into like an old person, where the little jobs that you shouldn't enjoy are now the main event. So
but hold on, how old are you? You're 31, aren't you?
32.
32. And you're pottering around, not knowing what to do with yourself.
Well, like yesterday, Suzanne's shoes needed to go to the cobbler's, right?
I haven't heard the word cobbler.
I didn't even know cobblers still existed.
I only ever see that in Christmas films made by Disney.
Well, I had to go and do that, and that suddenly...
Because last time you were going to the toffee shop.
Yeah!
And then you went to the cobbler's. Next week is the candlestick maker.
But all I mean is, that suddenly is a nice little day out. I'm sort of putting my coat on, going, right, I'll go and see the cobbler now, yeah. And... Go and have a chat.
Tell me about the cobbler.
You didn't come back with three magic beans, did you?
No, the cobbler's all right. He's, you know, he's doing, you know, he's fixing cobbling. Shoes and that.
He's cobbling. He's cobbling all day.
Have I told you about my Uncle Alf, who was a cobbler?
No.
I'm sure I told you about him. He's the one who, he lived in like a bedsit, and he had two tellies. he had like one that the sound didn't work on,
right.
And one that the picture didn't. But both together, it worked.
Oh, right, okay.
So as long as he was watching the same channel on both, sound came out of one telly, and he'd watch the picture on the other.
Brilliant.
And he slept in, like, a rubber dinghy. Right? But he was...
Whoa! You can't just let that slide. Why did he sleep in a rubber dinghy?
He just liked boats and stuff, and he sort of...
Yeah, I like boats, but they're better on the water. Beds are better to sleep on. Boats are better to sail on.
Well, he just had it in there. It's a bed set. It was really tight space.
Boat set.
He's got this.
Moved into a dinghy set.
He's got this dinghy, so he's thinking, well, rather than it getting in the way, I might as well use it.
Yeah. Right?
But he was a cobbler, and he used to like repair like my shoes and that, right?
Yeah.
But he'd always sort of overdo them, right?
So, what do you mean?
Like
fancy.
Do you know like Pimp My Ride on MTV?
Yeah.
Because he does up shoes, he'd go mental on them.
What do you mean? There was the stereo.
Yeah.
Well, no.
There was horns.
It's like... Na, 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 na,
ah, ah, ah. Here comes Mr. Stripes.
Here comes Mr. Pilkington. He's got the fastest shoes in the land.
No, it just makes shoes that would last forever. So instead of putting, like, one sole on, he'd put about five on. So it looked like one of them built-up shoes. That you never see. You just put loads of stuff on. They'd last forever. But they did.
But they look like orthopedic shoes.
Yeah, yeah. It just like, suddenly I was like 6'7". Whenever he'd sort of sorted my shoes out. But he's a cobbler, and, you know, it's work that's always there for you, isn't it?
I suppose so. So you went out to take Suzanne's shoes to the cobbler.
Yeah, so that's it. Yeah, so I just took him to the cobbler's and that. And that was like a nice little job for the day. I got a leaflet through the door saying, you know, if you want to walk a dog, you know, the rates are good. I don't know what they pay in that, but I got a little letter in my little letterbox saying, you know, if you're free in the day.
What, they pay you to walk a dog?
They pay you to walk a dog and that. And I thought, if I do that and get a paper round, two in one,
Sorry, you just went from a job, right, where you were the head of production at a radio station, dare I say it, on... can I discuss your...
Well, it was an alright wage, yeah.
It was very good.
But I wasn't happy, so it's pointless.
No, I know that, but to go from the head of a department on a lot of money to walking dogs and doing a paper round, I don't know.
No, but it's about being happy, isn't it?
I know, but that's commendable if that's true, but... okay.
And that makes you happier?
Well, I haven't walked the dog yet, but I'm just saying if I do... I mean, I'm not taking it if it's raining. I'm just thinking if it's a nice sunny day and I fancy a potter, I'll go round to her and say, well, how much are you paying? I'll take the dog a walk. And
sure.
Stuff.
But I can't believe some of the words that have cropped up in this. It's 2006 now. Potter, cobblers, toffee shop. It's very, very strange.
Do you live in Narnia?
The Ricky Gervais Show on Guardian Unlimited.
Right, a lot of people are sort of emailing in sort of brainy stuff.
Brilliant.
Right, which, you know, the more the merrier. I'm happy getting all this stuff, and if you know, it grabs me eye, I'll run it by you and you can sort of tell me about it and that. And getting a lot of stuff about philosophy.
Oh, yeah.
And all that. Descartes, that's another one that's mentioned on an email.
Descartes. Yeah. The French philosopher.
Yeah.
What's your question?
Well, he sort of cropped up on an email. Someone said, what do you think of him? And I was like, oh, I don't know.
He, famously, he pondered his own existence. Cogito ergo sum. I think, therefore I am. He was thinking about that. He was thinking, how do I know all this is true, everything around me? And he thought, well, I can see it, and I can smell it, and I can hear it. And he went, oh, yeah, my senses can be fooled. I could be dreaming. And he thought, well, that's true, I could be dreaming. But if I'm dreaming, then at least I'm alive. At least I have some sort of consciousness. So if I'm even thinking about anything, you know, I am, I exist. I think, therefore I am. Cogito ergo sum.
But we don't need to know the Latin bit. Why is everyone always going back to Latin? It was ages ago. Why is that language always being... And were Latin people always in a rush? Because they seem to be like words for full sentences. Why couldn't they just set the time and say what they want to say? And it's just like, what was
there's
the rush?
There's nothing to teach Latin!
What about Plato?
Right, Greek.
Right, now, would you say he's a bright bloke?
Yes, I would. I'd say he's a very, very bright bloke.
Right, let me tell you this. Right, if he's that bright, you know how he got killed?
No.
Got hit on the head by an egg.
Fucking hell! Well, he's not so clever then, is he?
That's what I'm saying.
Ooh.
What's the story with the egg?
He was on holiday, or something, right? And...
He was on holiday.
In Greece, probably.
He was having a walk about, and a bird was flying over his...
This bird was what? A great orc? What size bird killed him with his egg?
It was a big one, yeah.
Was it?
And the way they used to crack...
An ostrich on a hang glider?
The way they used to crack the eggs open to let the kids out, they used to drop them on rocks.
What bird is this? Dropping its egg to let the kids out? You're a maniac! You are a maniac!
And Plato had a little bald head.
Right.
So from the top, the bird's there looking down, and it goes, oh, there's a little rock, I'll drop the egg. Hit him on the head. Killed him. Now, this is what I was saying before about...
I'm letting too much go now, because I'm so desensitised to his nonsense. I let him go. The bird saw Plato and said, there's a rock down there.
Yeah. Well, if these birds are killing people with bald heads, you've got to be terrified.
So, but listen, this is what I'm saying, though, right? Before about knowledge and that, how knowledge is hassle or success
that's
is hassle.
I think that was Newton... Knowledge is hassle.
Now, why is Plato's intelligence got anything to do with the fact that this bird dropped it
because,
an egg on his head?
Because he was intelligent, and he's probably earning a nice few quid by giving out whatever messages he gave out.
Yeah.
He could afford to go on holiday to exotic places. If he was working in a factory, he wouldn't have been on this beach with big birds dropping eggs, is what I'm saying. So, in a way, it backfired. His knowledge killed him.
And that, I think, was Kierkegaard, his knowledge killed him.
That's, I mean, where you got this stuff about him being on holiday?
Well, he shouldn't have been on the beach. He was only there having a break or whatever from doing what he does. It wouldn't have happened if he wasn't on holiday.
again, I can't remember which show this was that we were discussing this, but we talked about well-known phrases and quotes from the past. We talked about Benjamin Franklin. People have, this is an email we've had saying, Carl, what do you take by the well-known saying, a stitch in time saves nine? A stitch in time saves nine.
Oh, a stitch in time saves nine. Yeah.
See, it's another one that I don't think I've picked up on a lot of these sayings that are being sort of thrown about willy-nilly.
Okay. Willy-nilly.
No, yeah. But again, it's one of them like last week. I've heard of it, but...
But what does willy-nilly mean?
Just sort of like throwing it about all over the place.
What do you mean? But what someone said, what does the term willy-nilly mean?
It just sort of means, you know, carefree.
That's right, yeah.
Okay, so but what does a stitch in time save?
So you understood willy-nilly, so you used a phrase.
Yeah, it sounds
You said it willy-nilly, but you sort of got the gist of it. So what does a stitch in time saves nine mean?
I don't know.
What do you mean you don't know? Think about it. A stitch in time saves nine.
Is it to do with sewing?
Well, yeah, sort of.
It's not that clear.
So if you got a jacket,
yeah,
and the seam starts coming undone, oh, there's a little bit of seam. I'll leave it. Oh, it's getting worse and worse. Soon your sleeve falls off. So, just need one stitch there, that'll do it. If you do it now, later you'll need nine stitches. And that, of course, is an analogy to other things. If you leave something that needs attention or repair, it'll get worse. So do it now, do it in time.
Yeah,
they could have said, a tile in time saves nine on your roof. They just used a sewing analogy.
But it depends if you're busy at that point, because if you've got something else that needs doing, that means that isn't being done because you're messing about putting something out a hole in your coat, is what I mean.
Yeah.
You can't always do stuff straight away. So maybe, I don't know if there's a sort of a middle ground where you don't have to do it straight away, but stitching...
A stitch sometimes
time,
today.
Say in 15 or whatever, meaning you don't have to do it straight away, but just do it before it gets really bad.
Brilliant. Do you think yours is less poetic than A Stitch in Time Saves Nine? So yours is, this is what you wanted to be a quote, right? Well, you could do it now, but if you're doing something else, then, don't do it immediately, but do it soon so it doesn't get really bad. Carl Pilkington.
No, but that's the same way I treat most things in life. It's like, I never go to the doctors unless it's really bad.
That is sensible.
Bad.
That is very good advice.
No.
That's brilliant advice
for anyone listening.
Never go to the doctors.
Unless it's really bad.
But that's why a lot of people, particularly working class people, die because they don't want to bother the doctor, or they're mildly embarrassed, or they don't know bad symptoms. Go to the doctor if you're not sure about something. Like, you were terrified to go and have your prostate.
Still not been. Not doing it.
Why not?
I wish you wouldn't talk about it, because now Suzanne will listen to this, and she'll go, oh yeah, you haven't been, and start dragging it up again.
But why are you worried about a qualified doctor?
I don't know what they're doing up there.
What, they
what
just
pop... What
year
are we in?
They... What are you talking about? They pop their finger up.
That's what I mean, though.
Why?
Well, it's 2006.
Yeah.
Why are they still using the index finger?
What, would you prefer the forefinger or the thumb, would
no.
you?
No, what I mean is, we've got...
Or a thumb on a stick, some kind of thumb on a stick.
Would you prefer it to
a mechanical thumb, a robot thumb.
Why isn't it just a little camera? Or something that
put the camera up if they initially discover something.
But just put the camera up straight away.
No, they don't need to. They pop the finger up, feel that the prostate isn't swollen, wiggle it around a little bit up your back passage. What are you worried about?
I don't think... They need to do
Are
that
you embarrassed? Are you
age?
Embarrassed about being in a room with your trousers around your ankles and a little fella popping
A little bit, yeah.
Why?
And the other thing is, it's not just that, is it? So, you go in there, they check your heart out and that, which to me is the most important thing, because that's what keeps you going, isn't it?
Yeah! Right?
You've got to go there, you're sat on the bus, stressing out, thinking, oh, in less than half an hour I'm going to have a finger up your arse, right?
What is the problem?
And they go in, they check your heart, they probably... check your testicles and that.
What's up with that? They check your testicles, yeah.
Yeah, but it's all building, and you've sat there going, oh, soon that'll be happening.
Yeah.
And that's what puts me off.
So if they just came round when you were asleep, Suzanne just let them in and goes, he's over there, right?
Yeah.
And they crept up and went, bang. You go, what are you doing?
I just don't understand why they don't teach you how to do it yourself.
How can they?
Wow.
How can they do? Imagine you squatting in a corner with one hand on your bollocks and the other finger up the arse going, it seems to be alright.
Carl, you don't understand the phrase a stitch in time saves nine. I don't think you should be doing any kind of invasive medical research in your own human body.
But then...
Who knows what trouble you're going to cause?
No, but then at least...
You'd get stuck.
Yeah.
You would get stuck.
Susanna would come out, your fist would be up your own arse. Okay, I think it's probably time. Let me just check my watch. Yeah, it's monkey news time.
Oh, chimpanzee that, monkey news, yeah.
Right, last week we talked about, you know, the one who was good at getting up buildings and that for putting out fires and stuff, ended up working for the fire department.
Yeah, not true, but sure. Yeah.
But if the building had good grippage, he was right up there.
Yeah, it's not true, but go on.
So this week, anyway, it's more about tall buildings and stuff.
Oh, yeah.
It was this bloke who was a builder.
Oh, yeah. Right?
And you know what builders are like, they sort of move about, don't they, from sort of building to building, just building.
Well, yeah, well, once they've built it, the building's done and they move on to build some more.
Building to building, just building, yeah.
So he goes to his next job and that, right?
Who does, the builder?
The builder.
Yep.
He goes to, like, the boss. The new building. The boss of this building, who's building it.
Right. Okay. Yeah. And he says what unto him?
Do you need anything building?
Okay.
Right.
Yeah.
So anyway... So he says, yeah, there's plenty of work and that going about.
Yep.
He says, we're working on this one here. He said, get going on it, like, there's your bricks and your cement and stuff, get on with it.
Yeah.
So the... So
any plans?
So
nah.
Just
build.
Just start building.
Yeah. Go up.
To getting on with it and stuff, it's all going well.
Right? Yep.
But he notices that there's someone working high up, right, on the top bit.
Sure.
Because, do you know, like, there's girders and stuff on these big buildings?
Yeah.
And he's still building the bottom bit,
and
which
he's
is
still,
weird.
Yeah, well, that's the way they do it there, apparently, just to sort of speed it up, work from top to middle, from top to bottom.
Sure, that's in imaginary land.
We put the spire on, and then we better do the foundations, and then put some stuff in the middle to keep it up there.
So anyway, he's saying to, like, the other workers, he's going, who's that up there?
Who's that up there?
He's working on his own.
The little fella, was he?
And,
the little hairy fella up there.
He's the little hairy fella up there with the hard hat.
And the other fellas were going, look, you know, don't ask questions, you know, the boss decides who he takes on, we're happy to be getting paid here.
Yeah. Well, I'll see him when he comes down.
So he said, well, it's pretty impressive, you know, the work rate he's doing, the way he's getting from one girder to the other.
Swinging, is he?
He doesn't seem to be scared of the heights or anything. He said, no, just let him get on with it, you know, we work well as a team. So anyway.
What nonsense is this?
So
he believes all this.
Yep.
So he sees the boss and he goes, that fella up there, who's the fella up there? He's pretty good. And he's like, look, you know, just get on with the job, yeah, I'll pay you, let's just all get on with our jobs. That. Lunchtime comes, they're all sat there, sat on a little wall, having the sandwiches, he's thinking he'll come down in a bit. He's just carrying on.
Yeah. Is he? He's just still going?
Still going on that, right?
Mm.
So, the fella says to the boss man, he says, isn't that fella up there gonna come down and join us for lunch? He said, like I said, mate, don't worry about him, right?
He said, very secretly. I'm suspicious about this fella.
I don't know.
I don't know why he's working through his lunch, I don't know why he's not scared of heights, I don't know why he's swinging from girder to girder, it's weird, go on.
So he said, oh, anyway, you've reminded me that he's up there. He said he's doing a lot of riveting and stuff up there. He probably needs some more nuts to...
Right, sure. And what kind of nuts is that? Is that nuts to food or...?
So he said, what, nuts? He said, yeah, just there's a bag full of them there. Just put them on the hook, send them up, and he can get on with his job. So anyway, he picks these nuts up.
Nuts,
right?
Yep.
Just hooks them on. He thinks, they're not that heavy,
no.
Considering, you know, I mean, they're normally pretty heavy, aren't they? Like, nuts
a big
and
bag
bolts
of nuts,
and stuff.
Yeah.
So anyway, he has a little glance in.
Oh, no, what's in there?
Nuts.
What, you mean nuts that you can eat?
Nuts that you can eat,
oh.
So they send the bag up, and he's thinking, what's all that about? He checks him out, starts to stare, works it out. You can see that he's a little chimp running about, so he goes, I'm not happy with this.
Why isn't he?
Because he's working for an organisation that's, you know, there's unions for this sort of stuff, isn't there?
Yeah, he's not going, that's amazing. They've got a chimp riveting this building together.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's not scary. He's wondering if they're breaking union rules.
So he goes to the boss and he goes, look, I've worked out what you're playing at here.
Yeah.
He said, all them out
there. Is the boss sitting in a tyre?
He said, all them lot out there might not be wise to what's going on here. He said, but I've clocked it and you're sending nuts up to it. It's a monkey, it's not on. So he goes, look, you know, we're just all trying to earn a living here. He said, don't get involved in it. I'm happy to pay you, but I'm paying him. Don't interfere.
He's paying him?
And he's saying, look, I'm just not happy with this. It's not allowed. So the boss was saying, well...
We pay peanuts, we get monkeys.
He said, to be honest, mate, you know, he's a great worker. He's known for doing what he does. He's a good grafter. If one of you's going to go, right, I'm afraid I'll have to let you go, because he's been here longer than that.
Yeah. He was made redundant.
None of that happened.
He was laid off.
None of that happened.
Is laid off and that's where that saying about you know, like, there's a lot of tower blocks and that in America. It's like the chimp off the old block is where... So, that's monkey news.
Thanks for listening to this podcast.
Who was it hosted by?
It was hosted by a great bunch of guys called Positive Internet. They host the number one podcast in the world, The Ricky Gervais Show, with me, Ricky Gervais, Stephen Merchant, goodbye, and Carl Pilkington.
The Ricky Gervais Show on Guardian Unlimited.